I'm a little bit of the oddball today, but I think you'll enjoy it because there are something about insects in here. Let me get all my paraphernalia here. All right. How do I go from one to another? Oh, that one. Okay. All right. The field day is the basis of getting our information out to our customers, right? That's what we've used forever. If you listen to Sonny talk last night, he said he had a photograph that said the field day came out in the 1950s. We're still doing the same thing that we've done since the 1950s. This is out at where I'm at in 1970s. And what it is, it's a group of people on a wagon. You have a researcher standing in front of a crop talking about some sort of results. Now, often that plot that he's standing in front of has nothing to do with what his subject is. It's just a way of getting the information out. And as you know, afterwards, we always eat, don't we? This is that same group of people in one of our sheds. This is by 1970s, and I don't think the food has changed. It's either hamburgers or barbecue. We still do the same thing. So the question is, have our field days really changed all that much? Have we changed since 1950? No, not really. We have groups that come out here on the wagons. These are mostly people in industry. That's why we got so many. If it'd been farmers, we wouldn't have had very many. But they're getting to see what the research is showing. Now, we are lucky sometimes when this particular graduate student is able to show some of his treatments. And that's very odd. I'm sure if we had one with Bob's talk this year, you wouldn't be able to see what we're talking about. But sometimes that does happen. And we are still eating. Now, this is one of my colleagues. He has a huge field day every year, and he gets a couple of thousand people to come out for breakfast. That's great. And they also feed them for lunch. And they'll also even have political speakers here. And it's so important that even some of the members here in this audience show up for it. It's that important. Because people will come out for a meal. But what happens afterwards? This. And I'm not picking on just one of my colleagues. I've spoken at field days. I'll talk to maybe 150, 200 people. I go up for lunch afterwards, and there's 500 people. Where do they come from? People are always wanting a free meal, aren't they? And my brother is extension, and he said, really, the people that come to the field days are like our father. He's 95, retired farmer. He goes to the field days, gets to get a free meal, hang out with his buddies, goes home and takes a nap. Because what are the people out there doing that's actually doing the implementation of what we're talking about? They're too busy. They don't have a chance to go. So that's what we're going to talk about just a little bit. What can we do? Now, one thing that we have done is specialized field days, workshops, and clinics. Here we are getting down to the nitty-gritty where they can actually see what's going on, whether it's whether it's an insect or whether it's a crossing soybeans. We also have expanded our field days that we get others coming out to our field days, showing off what's going on. There we go. But who is our audience? That's what we got to ask sometimes. It's just not farmers. It's just not the typical person that we had. We want to expand that, don't we? Because we're not just talking about people that are growing the food. We want them, but the landowners, we want the suburban folks to come out. We've got to teach them that. So how are we going to get that out? Well, specialized tours is one of them. This is where I get the insect part in for you all. This is Terry Woods that did Bob's insects a while ago. We have a pollinator study. We have a study where we're looking at different ecotypes of native plants and what insects, particularly bumblebees, land on those. I'm very proud to say we went from 1 to 7 in 3 years. So we have done some differences, but I guarantee you these folks here are not farmers. They're landowners, they're suburbanites, they're ones interested in this. And that's what we got to expand to. But even here, we can't pick a time to get them all to come out at once. I'm guilty of this too. What have I done to expand my audience? Is that I have a tomato fest. Every year, we had 220 varieties of tomatoes, 110 varieties of peppers. We get 1,200 people come out to taste all these peppers and tomatoes. We have salsa from the area restaurants. We have wine tasting. What that has to do with tomatoes, I don't know. But we do anyway, because they want it. And not to be let the children involved in this, we had 7 varieties of flavors of milk for them to taste. So we bring it out. But the question is, how much education did I do here? My boss is sitting right there. He's wondering the same thing. How much education did I do? We do some. We have some informative talks and everything, but have we gotten into the entertainment business here? Where is the meat of it? So, where do you find information at? This goes back to Sundays also. We have evolved. When my lawnmower broke, where did I go? I went to YouTube. When my daughter got married, I had to learn how to do the foxtrot. Where did I go? I went to YouTube. This is true. The drought of 12, when the factory settings on the combine would not work anymore because the ears were too small, we went to YouTube. And also, when we wanted to kill glyphosate-resistant weeds, where would a farmer go? Don't go to YouTube. Now, how long is that talk going to be? 10 or 15 minutes? You're bored already. Heck no. 5 to 7 minutes? Maybe. That's what I thought. The journalism people said, You got to get it down to 1 or 2 minutes. Because that's another thing Sonny talked about. How long is our attention span? We don't want to be told anything. We just want to get very smart, short snippets. So, what do we need to do? We need to have videos. We need live action. We need the problem, the treatments in there, and those effects of the treatments, and we want to do this over time, and we want to have some conclusions. Now, we also want to have branding. That's a big one. So what did we do? I hired a graduate ag journalism student. She's, you know, we have a fine journalism student school at the University of Missouri, and she's an ag also, so she got chosen to do this, and her job was 10 to 12 videos depicting research this summer. So the criteria, again, what I talked about, but we want professionally done, over time, and branding. We want to make sure people know this comes from our institution. If not, we're in trouble. So we want to do it over time, and this is really, really important. So this did not work earlier, so let's see if it works. I wonder how I do this. Oh, there it is. Here's one of them.
So today we're in the crossing block at the University of Missouri's Bay Farm Research Facility. Behind me are graduate students who are making new crosses and new genetic combinations to develop soybean varieties for Missouri farmers. And we're developing soybean varieties for Missouri farmers that will increase their profitability and productivity. We really focus our variety development on genetic yield potential using diverse germplasm. And we also focus our variety development on oil and protein traits for seed composition, as well as specific amino acid and carbohydrate composition. And we also focus up our crosses on abiotic and biotic stress.
Okay, critique. I'm going to show you three. Branding, yes, but where is the College of Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources? It's not there. Did you notice the little B that disappeared? That's our branding. Talking about our problem, action, He could have done this at a field day. Now I'm guilty of giving students enough rope to hang themselves, because that's how you learn. So that was not what we wanted, but it's a one-time shot. I'd like to have them actually making that cross. That would have been a lot better. So let's go to the next one. See, that branding, partially.
One of our challenges is to be able to pick equipment that will work in a cover crop situation like we're talking about. And one of the things you have to look at is a fairly narrow tire width. If we start looking at an 18-4 width tire, which is a full width tire, we're going to have some difficulties maybe getting it to work on some of these taller crops. So we need to look at maybe a 16.9 width of a tire, which works better. We can get that through that crop with no problem. The other thing is our clearance that we have on the front axis makes a big difference. So in many cases, if we're looking at a fairly short front axle, we're going to have probably a little more difficulty as compared to a fairly tall axle. And you can see a lot of difference between tractors in terms of tire size makes a difference in how much clearance we have in terms of the axles. I don't have an issue with trying to go through a bay field and even a cornfield and maybe pushing some of the plants over during some parts of the day. That's not going to be a problem whatsoever. So we can actually use that axle, and it's not going to hurt if we do a little rubbing on it at this point. So one of the things we have to look at is, particularly when we start looking at maybe some of the high clearance units, they're designed with a lot more narrow type of a row spacing, wheel spacing. So they would work a lot better in terms of maybe going through some of these crops like a corn crop.
Okay, better. Branding's not there, but this is something that you could show all winter, couldn't you? You could have it up on YouTube, you have it somewhere if people had questions. Now, I'd like to see more action. For example, those units in the back, I was there when she filmed this. I was looking at those more than anything. So it could get better, but it's getting down to it just a little bit better. Now, one last one. Oh, before I do this, we had a field day, organic field day. This is Reed Smith, a weed scientist. He's showing all the neat equipment that you can use that we're doing this project on to control weeds. We have a flamer, we have a hot water, we have a weed puller. This is your typical field day, isn't it? You have it sitting there and they're talking about it. Let's see it in action. So we had to go to one of our students to get that.
Water to control weeds in the crop instead of herbicides or cultivation or other methods of weed control like hoeing. So we came up with an idea that we would use a pressure washer and use conventional spray tips that we already had equipment for and ideas of how they operate and instruct a machine to do this. And so that's the machine here. By the time the water comes out of the nozzle tips at 6/10 of a gallon per minute for each nozzle tip. Overall, it's 4 gallons a minute of water that we're putting out. It's somewhere between 290 and 260 degrees Fahrenheit. So far we've seen that it does kill plants. It just depends on how fast you go and how slow you go. Their exposure time to the hot water that's there.
All right, that's getting close to what I was wanting. The only big thing I don't like about it, I want to come back in a week or two to see whether the weed's dead or not. That was the criteria. Let's see it over time. So as you can see, it is evolving. We're going to do it some more. Again, this is education for the students also. So yes, I think we need to expand past the 21st century. We've got to put our information up on the web, whether it's YouTube, whether what it is, so people can access it when they want to. Because what do we use for our information? This thing. It's amazing. And we want it over time. We want it to have conclusions. We want it to be interesting and keeping it short. And it's got to be professionally done, and it's got to be branded. That is so important. Thank you.